This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTillier along with Cullen Steele in the background here, coordinating and supervising, making sure our show goes right. Want to tell everybody at 520 we'll have on with us Landon Young, who just re-signed on a one-year deal, a former sixth-round pick of the Saints and who University of Kentucky, and I got a good Zach Strief story to tell him. I don't think I've had that opportunity to talk to him about that. So Landon Young, back with the Saints, who has played both tackle and guard for the Black and Gold, and so we'll get his comments on returning back to New Orleans. And at 5:40, Jimmy Patsos join us, and Jimmy does a great job breaking down the NCAA tournament. And we talked about it so much in the first hour, but for the first time in McNeese State history, they are going to the round of 32 as Will Wade and the McNeese State Cowboys upset Clemson 69-67. They jumped out all over them, and it was a 31-13 lead at halftime. Clemson kind of whittled away at it, finally got it real close at the end. But the McNeese State Cowboys, for the first time, advance in the tournament, and now they'll play Purdue. So, man, congratulations to those young men at McNeese State and being able to piece this together. And also Will Wade. Man, that was a lot of kind of winds in the vortex there of the tornado, but they were able to get out of it, and that's a huge upset. When you're a 7.5, 8-point favorite come tournament time, that's a big upset, and that broke, I think, a lot of people's brackets, to be honest with you. Last night, after one of the worst performances I had seen from the Pelicans, they lost by 46 points a couple nights ago to the Detroit Pistons. The Pelicans bounced back, and they upset the Timberwolves, who were double-digit favorite in that game. 119-115, Zion, 29 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. C.J. McCollum bounced back after a really tough performance against the Pistons, 18 points, 8 rebounds, and Brown, 15 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. And you think about how this season has gone all kind of different ways, but last night showed they got a little bit of a heartbeat, that this basketball team hung in there, and it meant a lot to the Timberwolves. Winning a game like that, because you think going into that, you're going to pull a W out. And so, man, congratulations to the Pels. It's sort of a back-to-backer, if you want to put it that way, because the Pelicans tomorrow night will play the Timberwolves again. And certainly, I think all eyes and ears, though, will be what happens as the LSU baseball team takes on Texas Longhorns. And you can hear those games live right here on the Big 870 WWL. Huge test for both teams, and so you get to hear it right here on the Big 870 WWL. We hadn't had a chance to talk about it. We had some guests, but yesterday afternoon, Danielle Hunter comes up with a new deal. They added a year to his contract, and now he is going to be with the Houston Texans through the 2026 season, reworked his contract, and basically a one-year contract extension that will pay him $35.6 million. I remember when Danielle Hunter was at LSU, he had 4.5 quarterback sacks in 3 years with the Tigers. He's got 99 in 9 years in the National Football League. And I remember talking to him about it, and he was like, you know what, just got better technically, learned how to use my hands and my arms a little bit better to get off blocks. And he said, I was so close at LSU, but I never kind of could seal that deal. Got much stronger in the lower body, had a great career certainly with the Vikings. And now I think that that kind of money now, setting it at 35.6, that's sort of the aim point now for what the Cincinnati Bengals might have to pay Trey Hendrickson out in the open market. They did come up with deals for T. Higgins, also Ja'Marr Chase, bringing them back to the fold. They had Gesicki a little bit earlier, bringing him back. Can they bring back Trey Hendrickson? I know the asking price for Trey was pretty expensive. They were looking at a first-round pick, and then you would have to pay Trey a lot of money to get him to accept that deal. So, man, congratulations to Danielle Hunter. You talk about a guy that really worked at his game, and he busted his butt to get better as a player. But to think in a three-year time span, and he gets 4.5 quarterback sacks. He's got 99 in 9 years. Cullen, that's a big jump. You're talking about that time frame and what he's done in the National Football League. And he's sort of an exception to the rule. Most of the times, if you're not a super productive player in college, you're not that way in the pros. He is one of the few exceptions to the rule. You saw how much he got better, always was a great athlete, and he's turned that into hitting the power ball, so to speak.
No, 1,000%, but I kind of wanted to circle back on Hendrick. Hendrickson, you mentioned, you know, kind of resetting the market to a degree. Do you think it'll matter? Do you think it'll make an impact? Do you think the Bengals can the Bengals even put themselves in a position now with their signings with Higgins and Chase? Can they even try and rival that kind of money?
Here's my deal. You know, I know Mike Brown. He's older than me. He got a little age on him. And you can't take that money with you. Now, I had some family members that thought, you know, when they pass on, they could maybe take it with you. And they got the money to do it. It's just being creative on how to do it. And when you look at, you got a Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr and T. Higgins and Gesicki, you could put points on the board. And all those guys had, like, record-setting years. And yet, you were watching the playoffs. You weren't playing in them. You got to get better defensively, and the way to do that is draft well. And they have suffered in that category. They have the smallest scouting department in the National Football League. I think they have 5 full-time scouts. You know how many the Eagles got? 22.
That's where the money should go, Mike. That's where it should go. It should maybe you know, curb or delay the Chase and Higgins extensions until you build up that scouting department a little bit.
Yeah, well, again, you got to be able to know what you're getting from the college ranks, because you can't pay everybody. And this is money plays a big part in what you do in getting fiscally set, that you can get some and be involved in free agency. The thing about it is, and not to use the term cheap labor, but it's football minimum wage when you're bringing in rookies. No matter if you're a first-round pick, second, seventh, whatever, it's sort of football minimum wage. You got to hit on that because you got them for at least 3 years in the most part. Bengals haven't done that, and they need a lot of help on defense. And I would use one of those picks or some money to make sure Joe Burrow's standing upright too. He's had a lot of time horizontal out on that football field for the Bengals. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL and Saints offensive lineman Landon Young right after this break here on the Big 870.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. Here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele handling everything behind the scenes. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line, I would say he's a new member, but he was already here before. Landon Young, offensive lineman for the Saints. Landon, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Landon, what was the decision here to come back with the Saints? And probably had some options to go elsewhere, but was it the comfort level? And did you have that conversation with your new offensive line coach, Kellen Moore, on exactly kind of what they think and how they're going to use you in 2025?
Yeah, I definitely think that it was a pretty easy decision coming back. Like I said, having the last 4 years, I love the city, fell in love with the city, fell in love with the culture there. The fans are awesome, and of course the guys that I play with, I've created such a bond with them. So it was definitely an easy decision to kind of want to restructure and make a new contract with New Orleans. Definitely did have some conversations with Brendan Nugent. He, of course, was my offensive line coach my rookie year, so I kind of have that prior relationship. So it was good to kind of reconnect with him as he makes his way back home too, and had some conversations with him prior to everything, and was very comfortable making that decision.
Landon, this is a story. This is a Zach Strief story, okay? So he calls me, and he's leaving Lexington because I think he did, or he might have run your pro day when you worked out for the scouts. And he was like, Mike, Landon Young, was he the number one rated offensive lineman in the country? I said, well, if he wasn't, the roll call was real short. I know he was the number one rated offensive lineman in the state of Kentucky, what top rated player there. And man, the way he talked, Zach almost saw himself in you. I don't know if you guys have had that conversation, but with talking to him, he saw a lot of himself in you in working you out and then later getting a chance to coach you.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I got to give Zach a lot of credit because, like I said, he worked his butt off to get me there and kind of took me under his wing. And we created a really close relationship over those couple years. And he would always tell me the same thing. And I think it worked out for my betterment because he introduced me to a lot of technique and a lot of different things that helped him that also helped my body type and the way I played, which was, of course, very similar to Strief. And, you know, like I said, I think that's another reason he kind of took me under his wing is he was kind of you know, reliving that the start of his career through me, like I said, by seeing me play similar to how he used to.
One of the things he brought up to me, Landon, was that he said, you know, I feel as though we're shortchanging Landon and also Trevor Penning, and that they're not getting the reps that I got as a rookie in early in my career. He was like, just looking at it, they may have gotten maybe 20% of the reps I got early on in my career. And he credited that in helping him extend his career, get better as a technician. And I understand it's collectively bargained and everything else, but the one area I think it really hurts in not getting in some of that practice time is play along the offensive line.
Yeah, I agree. And so I always tell people the only way to get better at football is to play football. And between the practices and games, you got to go out there and get those practical reps, because every single rush you get from a defender, every single different defender, every single run block is going to be different. And so the more situations you can put yourself in, good and bad, the better off you're going to be in, the more you can learn and kind of learn from those times as well. And like I said, Zachy always used to tell me stories too, and it's kind of that you know, how your parents tell you that they walked up to school or walked to school uphill both ways, you know. He's like, oh, yeah, we would have had that many reps in 2 days that you had in your whole camp. And, you know, they definitely did have a lot more reps and definitely increased his possibility of playing and definitely extended his years in the league. And definitely something that can be beneficial, but also, you know, you look at health from his time until our time, and I definitely think that bodies hold up a little better. So it's finding that good median, you know, trying to find how many reps we can get them and get the max improvement, but also be able to keep you healthy for the whole season.
In meeting Kellen Moore, and I don't know if you had any interaction with Coach Moore before he takes over with the Saints, but your impressions of Coach Moore coming off a Super Bowl winning team where he ran the offense with the Eagles. And if you watch the Eagles, Landon, I've never seen this stat before. I've done this 40 years. They led the league in rushing attempts. They were 32nd in the league in passing attempts. So that tells me a little bit about how he changed because of the personnel on that team. Because I think he had gotten maybe reputation as a kind of pass-happy coach. Well, that wasn't the case in Philly. Man, they ran the football. So your first impressions with Kellen Moore and the type of offense you think he'll run here in New Orleans?
You know, every offensive lineman loves hearing that stat line. You know, we love running the ball, but, you know, we are in a league that is a passing league, and you got to be good at both. But, you know, I'm excited just to get, you know, that young, fresh perspective, especially off such a successful team as Philly. You know, we play them every year in their – they always give us a great game. Whether we've been successful or they've been successful, like it's a hard offense to stop no matter what. And so I'm excited to kind of get that. I feel like he's aggressive when he needs to be aggressive, and he's been very successful at that with the Eagles as well. So I'm excited to get that younger, fresh perspective, and definitely hopefully be able to get the ball on the ground a little bit more, run that ball.
You've played mostly at the tackle position, though you have seen some work at guard. Is the vision for you to be more or less the same, play more tackle than guard, or is that something that work out, you know, during the practice sessions?
Yeah, I definitely think that's something that is going to be kind of to be determined. I know that they like that I have versatility at all four positions there, and it's going to be interesting to see, because obviously I want to go out and try to fight for any starting position. I don't care where it is on the line, whether it be tackle or guard. You know, that's our end goal, is to be able to go and get that starting position, help the team any way I possibly can to win football games. And so I definitely think that's something that they'll try out in OTAs and through the course of camp, kind of throw me inside, throw me outside, see where I best fit, see if I can compete against some of these guys for that position. And so I'm excited to see where it is, but there's nothing set in stone yet. But I know that they like the versatility of being able to do all of them.
When you think about the offseason, first of all, I was going to ask you about your health, because I know you've had some injuries with this football team health-wise. And Do you train with anybody outside the organization to, you know, work on your techniques, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I actually spend a lot of time back in Kentucky, and that's where I do a lot of my my strength and my rehab and my speed and running is actually back with our college coaches. We have a couple NFL guys that we go back there every season, and you know, those are the guys that helped attribute us getting into the league, and they want to help us along and staying in the league as well. So those strength coaches, they carve out their own time that is their free time and spend it with the NFL guys and trying to continue our careers in the league as well.
Landon, I remember when they selected you, came on with us here on WWL, and you talked about how much you love to hunt and fish. So give us some hunting and fishing adventures here in South Louisiana that you've been on.
Yeah, I actually haven't got to do too much hunting, but, you know, I'm me and my wife, for 2 years we've been talking about wanting to go get a gator hunt, and what a better place there's no better place to do it. And I've got to do some fishing. I've got to go catch some big bull reds and catch some trout and go home, fry them up. And we've absolutely loved that. And so we've definitely made it a point to get out there on the water at least two or three times a year.
When it's alligator season, Landon, I might be able to hook you up, because I still live on the bayou, and they got them critters all over. Man, that's the one big difference from growing up. You hardly saw any alligators, and today you get in that bayou. If you don't see a few of them, then you're not around water anymore. They got them all over. But that hunting season for them, when that comes around, I might be able to hook you up on that one. So I know somebody would really love to take you doing that.
Yeah, dude, I would absolutely love that. That's been a bucket list item of mine for a while.
Yeah, they put up a little bit of a fight, especially if you get one that's got a little bit of size to him, and also getting him in the boat afterwards. Because sometimes, you know, he's got a little bit of weight. He got some meat on the bone. Landon, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, thrilled to have you back here with the Saints. Wishing you best of health and good luck for 2025.
Thank you very much, and God bless you all.
All righty. Landon Young, offensive lineman with the New Orleans Saints. And, again, we've talked about it, that he has played both tackle and guard. And what's interesting is the fact that it was first reported by Jeremy Fowler, but Dylan Radins is going to be visiting with the Saints. And he was a second-round pick of the Titans back in 2021. And he has started that right guard, I know for sure, in the league, and played a little bit of left guard, right tackle. And so I think that he could certainly compete for a starting position, maybe on the left side. North Dakota State guy, prepped in Minnesota. So Dylan Radins, who was with the Titans, in for a visit now. Let's see if they can come to terms with him and add him for talent depth along the offensive line with the Saints. And again, it was first reported by Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. We come back, have on us the coach, Jimmy Patsos, joins us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Cullen Steele handling things behind the scenes, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line from monumentsports.net. He's an NBA analyst, also covers college basketball, basketball consultant for Under Armour, Coach Jimmy Patsos. Coach, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Love being with you. You know, when I was with you guys when I said the Pelicans were going to the finals 2 years ago when they were in first place. They were in first place in December, and they were the talk of the town. I am sorry 18 months later my prediction was wrong.
Coach, look, it happens to all of us. And I asked this to Coach Mulkey. We had her on the first hour, and she was talking about, I don't watch a lot of NBA action, but she was like, I did see Zion when he was at Duke, and he was sort of one of one as a player. Boy, when you watch him out there at times, he kind of takes your breath away. Okay, other guys have played the game, but he sort of takes over. He's in the best shape of his life now. They've been injury-ravaged all season long. But your thoughts on Zion now? I think he's playing the best basketball he's ever played at the NBA level.
Look, Zion, it's always been an issue. Can he keep the weight off? He's just a big guy. But my thing with Zion is this. He's a great player. I covered him at Duke, you know, because I'm in NBC Washington at the time. Now I'm in Monumental with the Wizards. But look, they were show themselves. R.J. Barrett, him, it was a traveling circus in a good way. Great for sports. And we thought he would do it at the next level. He hasn't stayed healthy. Then you trade Ingram. McCollum sort of runs out of gas after coming there and bringing all good energy. I love Alvarado, but I don't know your organization enough, and I don't would never criticize anyone for what they're doing for the future. But let's face it. There's a Cooper Flag Harper sweepstakes. After that, I don't know. I like B.J. Edson from Baylor. I think Ace Bailey has a lot to prove. The point guard, Jakus Yunus from Illinois. No, it's Harper and it's Cooper Flag. They're transcendent, one-of-a-kind guys. So did management say, let's get Zion in shape, let's get Cooper Flag here, and we'll be fine, and then we'll have some young guys? But the team, you guys were heading towards first place last year in January, and I really thought you were going to turn the corner and take a big jump, and then injuries again. But I like Zion. I just want to see him play.
I think we might have lost Coach Patsos for just a second. That Cullen will try to get him back online. But he was talking about Zion Williamson, and he watched him play so much at Duke. And we've seen when he's healthy, and he is now in the best shape that I've ever seen him in, to be honest with you. He's a force out on that basketball court on what he can do. It'll be kind of intriguing because even if you have one of the worst records doesn't necessarily mean you'll get the first or second pick in the draft. The Pistons, they've went through that in the past. So, Coach Jimmy, we were talking about Zion Williamson and kind of how this draft class sort of sets out. But and you brought up Cooper Flag, and so I'll throw this out at you at Duke. And watching them all season long, they don't have any holes. They almost – it's like Noah's Ark. They got, well, like two of everybody, no matter what position, they got them. I don't know the health of Cooper Flag for the tournament, but they would seem to be, they got to give it to you for them to lose a game in tournament time.
Look, the fact that they learned to win a little bit in the ACC tournament without Cooper Flag might be the best thing that happened. I think Cooper will play, whether he plays Friday or whether he plays Sunday, you know, because they might need him Sunday in that 8-9 versus whoever wins, but I just think Duke and John Shire have done an unbelievable job. And they have a lot of young guys. They're not just hitting the portal. They actually have guys leaving to go to the portal. But Cooper Flagg's also one. Look, I'm on the McDonald's All-American Committee. I saw him in person at the Steph Curry camp. I know Montverde because Derek Queen at Maryland went there, who's a winner. Derek Queen's a tremendous player, knows how to win. Montverde has Liam McNeely. But Cooper Flagg is a step above. So if you were to get him, and like you said, 1 through 3 just has a 14% chance, but I like, if Zion can just start playing regularly 60 to 70 games a year, then you're back in business. You know, him and John Morant are transcendent guys that really had great first years and then got hurt or had an issue off the court. And OKC and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander have not. Yeah, Holmgren got hurt, but they have stayed out of trouble and healthy. And that's what you could be. But Cooper Flagg and Duke, it wouldn't surprise me if they won it. And then Houston proved they can rebound the ball. They're really good today. We'll see what happens with Gonzaga because he just finds ways to win. And Auburn and Bruce Pearl, I always say this, Mike. Virginia got beat by UMBC. The next year they won it. We've all had tough losses in what you do the next year. Pearl got beat by Yale last year, and they showed today they're ready to go. I think maybe losing the SEC tournament wasn't so bad. And then Florida's the team that just they keep getting better and winning. Todd Golden's done a great job. He had that stuff early, put that behind him. But his team has gotten better. They got 7 guys, and your bench can help you. McNeese State beat Clemson today. I'm a Will Wade guy, okay? I like Will Wade. You know, he was doing whatever he was doing. He's proven NC State's going to hire him. He told his team, I'm leaving, but let's have a fun run. His bench had 30 points today. They beat Clemson by 2, but they really dominated the game. So Duke has a little of everything. I think if Cooper from Flag comes back, they go to the Final Four. After that, it's 2 games. But it's one of those situations where did it help playing a couple games without Cooper Flag? I think maybe it did, you know? I think Zion Williamson could have added a huge burst if he'd come back last year. But now it's too little, too late, so now you're in another rebuild mode. That's not for me to say. Free agency, you have money. But Ingram leaving and McCollum getting older and a few things like that, you just have to figure if Zion Williams, if he's still young, can come back and you add Cooper Flag, you're in business. But I think Duke, Knuppel's good, the center is good, they got guys, they have a lot of depth. but they haven't lost a game in, you know, 3 months. They've lost one game. So I have, and it was to Clemson. So I have a funny feeling Duke's around there. Kelvin, we root for Kelvin. We'll see. I've never seen a more wide-open tournament, though, because everyone has a little bit of a flaw, and there's some different teams in it. And you know what? I watched the Big Ten and the SEC closely this year. There's murderer's row. Anybody can beat anybody any given night.
I wondered how Auburn would react. It didn't end the season well for them. They didn't play well late in the year, and then you lose in the SEC tournament. After watching them today, that didn't really seem to matter. They were focused, and they were ready to take it to him.
Yeah, Broome's really good, and Ryan Bruce Pro's done a great job. They got Pettiford, who I love. See, they have a bench. He's got a bench, but they lost at Texas A&M. Buzz Williams can really coach. Like I said, the SEC with 14 teams is like the NBA. Anybody can beat anybody. I cover the Wizards. Last week, we went into Denver and won. Poole had a great game. A couple young guys played well. They were coming off a back-to-back against where they beat the Lakers. Denver was a little tired. That stuff can happen. That SEC is a grind. You know, and the Alabama game was an overtime thriller. You know, that's an in-state rival. And it wouldn't shock me if Alabama won the tournament. He got up to the Final Four last year. Maryland, we got to the Final Four 1 year. The next year, we won it all. But the SEC, look, South Carolina's Under Armour. Lamont Paris is a friend of mine. He woke up, but he was 0-6, 0-7. He just played too tough a schedule. Mississippi State's good. Chris Beard at Ole Miss. I mean, that guy's put Texas Tech on the map, but now that's going well. Texas Tech is a team that's really good, but the SEC, night in and night out, there's no off nights, and Vanderbilt's gotten better. Like, everybody's good. So while Pearl lost a few down the stretch, really fearful of that, maybe getting out of the SEC tournament early, but now it's bracket play. He's just going to win and get to the next bracket, and then you got to go 2-for-2 again. He's got to go 2-for-2 this weekend and then go 2-for-2 again. And Broome is a really good player, and he's got depth. And I like Bruce Pearl as a guy, and I think he plays a good style. But I just have a feeling because they lost last year early, they're going to be really ready.
Last question, it's an NBA question. Can OKC Cleveland Cavaliers get to the finals?
I don't think both. I grew up in Boston, but at the, you know, I've been there for years. There's a great Celtics documentary out. Look, they're the defending champs, so Porzingis plays. Until Cleveland proves they can win, and I like Donovan Mitchell, and they got hung. Look, they traded for Hunter DeAndre from Atlanta. It was a great pickup. Inside guys are good. But OKC and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, talk about a team that has two of everything. They have Aaron Wiggins, a guy I know from Maryland. They got so many different players in the Williamses, and then they got Hartenstein, who I really like from the Knicks, who's thick. Holmgren's back. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the next real star in the league. So I say OKC can. Although the Lakers are interesting just because of LeBron. And look out for that Jimmy Butler. This guy's won. He's got Curry next to him now. He's won with nobody next to him in Miami. So the West will be interesting, but it'll be a smoother ride for the OKC until the conference final. I don't see anybody beating Boston right now except the Cavs. I just don't think the Bucks can do it. The Knicks don't have any benches, as much as I like Brunson, everybody else. The East is rebuilding. So the West will be fun. But the Mavs are out, the Suns are a mess, blah, blah, blah. So you got the Lakers are intriguing, the Warriors, because they have the greatest player ever, the greatest guard ever to play in Curry, who just won the Olympics getting Jimmy Butler. So that's become intriguing. But it really seems like all year the OKC's had their way. And then I just have a feeling they get there. Cleveland, they're going to have to beat Boston. The question is, can they handle Giannis and them? Because Giannis made some trades or whatever. But I think Cleveland-Boston is a toss-up. I just got to give the edge to Boston as the defending champ. But I do have OKC going. And it wouldn't shock me if OKC won the whole thing. There's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and they have a ton of draft picks. Their average age is 24. They're like a college team with the fans. But they have 9 or 10 guys that are really, really good.
Coach Jimmy, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, we always love to have you on. Great insights on both the NCAA and also the NBA. And thank you so much for your time.
Anytime. It's a real pleasure. And you and these State fans down there, enjoy that one. That was a good one for me. I'm happy for you. Be well, my brothers.
Thanks so much, Coach Jimmy Patsos. And he's talking about the 69-67 upset win by McNeese State and Will Wade over Clemson. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. When we return back after the news, Steve Geller takes over. His guest at 6:20 would be Jeff Nowak. Jeff will talk Saints and also some NCAA tournament. And then at 7:20, one of the best ever at LSU, Todd Walker joins us from the SEC Network. LSU, Texas, this coming weekend right here on the Big 870 WWL.